to see everyone here this morning. Certainly good to be here myself. A place I'd rather be than here with you all and worshiping together. Very thankful for this occasion, as always. I'd like to talk a little bit with you this morning about our faith and what our faith ought to be in. There's only one faith that really works, and it's what we find in the Word of God. There is plenty of other things to put our faith in, even in religion. There's plenty of things that we can put our faith in. But these things ultimately fail and falter and fall. Generally, in this life is when we see those things falling and failing. But it might be that we'll hold on to those things until the end and we see them fall on the day of judgment. Whatever the case is, we need to give this a lot of consideration as far as what is our faith in or who is our faith in. However we want to ask ourselves the question, we need to consider this question as it's one of the greatest questions that we could ask ourselves in this life. I'd like to begin in 1 John chapter 5. Beginning in the first verse of the fifth chapter, where John talks a little bit about faith here. He talks a little bit about love. Those two really go hand in hand in the Scriptures. In 1 John 5 and verse 1, he says, "Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" Now what John has said here he hasn't spent a lot of time on, but we could spend a lot of time ourselves thinking about all the things that he has just brought to our attention. He's talked about the fact that one is born of God when they believe in the Lord. And so if our faith is in Jesus Christ, then we have been born of God. And this requires some work. It requires a lot of work. It requires our life. It requires our love. It requires our obedience, as the points that he is going to put out, put forth here in the next few verses. And when he speaks of verse 3, having our love for God is to keep his commandments, and he follows that up with, his commandments are not burdensome. Wow, what do you think of that? His commandments are not burdensome. His commandments are easy. Obedience is easy, that is. Well, that's, you know, not what I've heard a lot of different times. And then he furthers this in verse 4, and you notice verse 4 begins with the word "for." And so there's a connection here. He has just said that his commandments are not a burden for us, and then he explains that. He explains that in verse 4, saying that whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. So, how is it that his commandments are not burdensome to us? It's because of our faith. That's the point that he has made. It's because they're no longer a burden to us. God's word is no longer a burden. Obedience is no longer a burden because he says we've overcome the world. We're not interested anymore in this world. Our focus is not on this world. Our actions and activities and works involved and our efforts are not put forth for this world. when our actions and our works are dedicated to this world, then the commandments of God are very burdensome. I don't have time for it. I just don't even have time for it. I can fit in a few things. I could. We could all fit in a few things. We can make it here to assemble. There's, you know, one thing. Maybe we can add a few things throughout the week that we might be able to do. But when our works is of this world, as far as being a fully dedicated and convicted child of God, that's just too much of a burden for us. But as he is pointing out here, the commandments are not a burden to one who has been born not of just of this world, but born of God. See, we have a new life now. This world is not our life. We have had a new birth, and we're born of God, and we're born of His things, and we're born of His works. And so when that is our efforts and that is our dedication, then guess what? We don't have time for this world. See, we flip it all the way around. I don't have time for this world. I don't have time for the deeds of the world. I don't have time for sin. I don't have time for this ridiculous temptation that comes my way. You know, get rid of it. Get lost. I don't have time for it because I'm doing the works of God. I've been born of a new life and a whole new world that I live in now, living by faith in the Son of God. And that's the point that he makes there in verse 4 at the end. This victory that has overcome the world, he says, is our faith. Faith. This is how we overcome this world. Sin, everything, the lusts of this earth, all of that. It's how we overcome this world. Now, it has to be real faith. It has to be the kind you read about in the Word of God, the kind that Jesus taught us to have. And the apostles and others, the kind that we see exemplified in the Old Testament, in individuals like Noah and Abraham and Moses and David and on, individuals who had sincere faith because they had it and they held on to it and it didn't falter, and in the end of their life they still had it. As Hebrews 11 talks about these individuals in the Old Testament, and one of the most significant points that the writer of Hebrews makes in chapter 11 is he says, these all died in faith, he said. These all died in faith. They never lost it. They never lost it because it was the real faith that we find in the Word of God. It was a faith that brings us victory to overcome this world and the ways and sins and works of this world. What John is pointing out here is something that is going to require a lot of our attention to dwell on. I've seen different things, sermons, articles, I don't know, I've just seen it different places. People raising the question, why do we lose our young people? Have you seen things like that? People raising that question, why do we lose our young people? And, I think a lot of times we could have a lot of different answers for that. We talk about whatever's going on in the times, you know, in culture, different things. Talk about this or that. But there's really only one real answer for this, and it's what John has just dealt with. Why are we losing our young people? Let's open that up to everybody, because we lose people at all different times. They don't have to be young. Why do we lose people? You know, in the church, how do people fall away? How do people draw backwards? How does that work? How does that happen? John's just told us. It's because they weren't able to overcome the world. That's why. They didn't overcome the world, and so they drew back into the world. That's the answer. That's the only answer for it. And we can look at individuals, we could talk about, you know, specific details about that, about what they were not able to overcome in this world. But we're not dealing with specifics. We're not talking about any particular person here or anything like that. We're talking in broad, general, this is the answer here in the Word of God. They were not able to overcome the world, so they fell back. But what is the point of all this is he said, what is the victory in verse 4 that has overcome the world? He says it's our faith. And so there again, the deeper answer to all of this is faith. Why do we lose our young people? Faith. They didn't have the faith. Why do we lose anyone? The faith is the core, because it's by faith that we overcome the world. And it can't be any other thing. It can't be any other way. It must be true and sincere faith, or we will fail. We will draw back. We will sin. We will turn away from the Lord. Especially when, you know, when things get hard and times get tough, whatever situations might come our way, that's when we really start to draw back. We might be able to hang on for a while if we have our faith in something else. Now, I've seen this with folks as well. You know, I've seen this just as an eyewitness of these things, unfortunately, is people are able to hold on sometimes for a while, but then they draw back when something else happens. And the reality is not to dissect their life and to try to figure out what happened to them, but just looking here at the facts, the Word of God, they must have had their faith in something else. I don't know what it would have been. Maybe some other person. Maybe they had some false expectations of God that He never promised in His Word. I've seen folks fall back because of those kinds of things. Whatever the case is, we need to be training ourselves in the faith. And we need to be training our children to be convicted, to have conviction. And this is what I struggle as I see, and I still consider myself a fairly young person. In fact, it's kind of funny because, you know, I'm about 30-ish, all right? But the thing is, I look back at people that are 18 and things like that nowadays, and they think of me as old, but I still feel like I associate with them somehow. I still feel like I'm their age, but evidently I'm not, because they don't consider me that at all. But the thing is, I've looked at young people that I grew up with, and I've seen that it's true. The vast majority of them are gone. And what's the bottom line is they just didn't have the conviction. So how is this accomplished? How can we save? You know, how can we teach others to the point in which they would have true faith and they would remain and always remain? You know, a lot of it, you know, has to do with the example that we set in the Word, but it has to do with just the training in God's Word. Romans 10:17 still stands true to this day. Faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. So young people need to be hearing it. They need to be hearing it from the church. I understand that a lot of young people have fallen because, we could blame it on a lot of folks, but we could certainly blame it on the preachers and the teachers. The Bible class teachers just failing, essentially, in their job, not imparting the realities of the truth and the Word of God. Maybe just lingering, floating on a surface, just surface stuff. Well, that's not going to give us rich, deep roots of faith. And so I understand. I've visited different places, been in different congregations where I've seen that, where no one is setting up deep roots into the Word of God, and this is going to cause so many to fail. So we need to be very mindful of that as preachers, teachers, Bible class teachers that we have here. We need to realize the gravity of our duties to impart the truth into an individual by which it would really take up roots within them that they'll never be moved. The gravity of what we are doing here needs to be understood and needs to be trained to our younger folks. When I was growing up, we had quite a few young folks, all of which now are headed straight to hell. Most of them, that is, of these folks in the congregation of which I grew up. And there's a couple of us that are not heading in that direction. And I was thinking about what happened, because, we all heard the same things. We were all in the same Bible class together. We all heard the same sermons. And then I realized, well, actually, no, I don't think we're all hearing the same thing. I think some of us were hearing the Bible classes, and others were disinterested. They weren't hearing it. Others were listening to the sermon, and others were not. And I think there is something to that in training all of us, to see the gravity of what we do when we come together, and training our young folks to see that and be serious about it as well. The world, all of it, is left aside, and we pay close attention to the Word of God. And I can't speak enough of how vital the times that we have together are. And so, with individuals, like I said, that I grew up with, a lot of them came because they came with their parents, and they just didn't see the gravity of it. So they were around, and they hung out with the other kids and whatnot. But there is a difference between coming to church as a young folk, coming to church and having our friends at church. I had friends, when I came, when I was growing up. And there's a difference between coming for those friends, and fixating on that, and coming to learn, coming to grow deep faith in God, one that will lead us to an everlasting eternity. And that's another thing that I've seen just by my own eyewitnesses is the friends that I hung out with after church. There's two of them that I hung out with almost exclusively. And we didn't come for each other. And that wasn't the driving force by which we came to church that day. Was not to see each other. It was to learn, And everyone else seemed to have, all the other children seemed to have a different idea about why we were there. And so that needs to be instilled in our families here at this congregation. We need to be mindful of this and careful that we have the right emphasis on things. It is not enough just to get everybody here in the building. There's so much more to it than that. And what we're dealing with here is this faith. This faith. This is the driving force. This is why we're here right now at this moment. Young people, old people, everyone in between alike, this is why we're here. It's because of this faith. We're to grow this faith, to continue this faith, to be rooted in this faith, so that we'll never fail and we'll never fall. When the writer of Hebrews discussed faith and he defined it, and you notice how much Hebrews is about faith. It's really all about faith. It's about the Word and our response to it and our growing in that Word and our faith. And that's what it's all about, the book of Hebrews. And you notice the circumstances of the book of Hebrews is what? People who were falling away. That's why the book was written. It's evident why the book was written. He talks about it over and over and over again throughout. And people are falling away. And so what is his response? What does he call out? He starts talking about faith. He starts talking about true, sincere faith. And he defines it for us essentially in chapter 11, verse 1, when he says that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. What does that mean for us? Well, we're just going to have to break it down. I mean, there's, because otherwise we'd read this and you know, you walk away, I don't have any clue. But when you ponder on it for a while, you see what the point that he's making. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. That word substance means a foundation. Okay, it is an underlayment. So faith is the start of it all. That's why whatever we build on, if it's not built on faith, it falls. Jesus talked about the wise man built his house upon the rock. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. You know, we sing, the children sing those songs. What was Jesus' point with all of that? But my word, he who builds on my word is likened to the one who builds his house on a rock. So everything he builds up on, it lasts and it stays strong and it doesn't fall. But the foolish man builds his house upon the sand. That is, they're not building on God's word. And it's constantly sinking and sliding and falling. And they have a constant struggle all throughout their life. You know, there's individuals in the church I've seen all my life. And things are always a constant struggle for them. And one of the most evident things, you know, for us to see is attendance. And people struggle so much with attendance. And then there's other individuals in the congregation, it doesn't seem like they have any problem at all with attending. What is the difference here? What is the difference? One hasn't overcome the world yet. They're still distracted. You know, something has come up, they don't have time for it. The other has overcome the world, and the commandments are not a burden. When God says, come and assemble, that's not a burden to me. I got all the time in the world to assemble and worship God, because that's my life. I've been born of God. I'm not born of this world, I'm born of God. And so, we see this difference between falling and sinking and faltering versus just always, you know, consistently strong and building up and up and up, and everything we build, every little work we do, it stands and it stays. That's what faith provides. That's what we need. That's the key to never losing it. to never losing anything we worked for, never losing that repentance we once had, never losing that confession we once had, never losing that baptism, you know, that time we were dipped in some H2O one time, never losing it, always having it. And those things always having been effective for us for all of our life. It's because it's built on faith. Faith is a foundation of everything that we hope for and long for. To be with the Lord, to live with the Lord, to have an eternity in a paradise. These things we hope for, we don't hope in this world. This world passes away. This world is not where it's at. And the activities of this world is not where it's at. The substance of life, the substance of existing is in Christ. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence, as he says, of things not seen. Evidence or assurances or realities. The ESV says the conviction of things not seen. We need to be fixated on ourselves, on our children, on everyone in this congregation. We need to be focused on having conviction. You know, that's where the strength comes in. That's what faith is. It is this conviction of what we trust in and what we hold to, and we're not going to let it go. That's how people obey the Lord, and that's how people always obey the Lord. That's how we don't lose each other. And you see this. This is in Hebrews 11:1, but you keep reading Hebrews 11, you see example after example after example of people who've done it. Successful. And they did it for years. Some of them lived a whole lot longer than we did, you know. And they did it for years after years after years. You have Noah out there building the ark. You know, God told him to do that 120 years before that flood came along. You see these individuals, they don't lose heart. They don't fail. 120, there's not a single one of us going to live to be 120. They don't fail. And then you get to the next chapter of Hebrews, Hebrews 12, and Hebrews points to us and says, look here now. Look at these witnesses that you have. It's a great cloud of witnesses that have made it. They did it. They accomplished it. It is doable. We can do it. We can all do it. He said, so let's run with endurance the race that has been set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. What a great cloud. It's not just a handful of people is the point that he's saying. It's not of the billions and billions of people that, oh, there was a Noah, there was a Abraham, and there was a Moses. Three people out of a bazillion, you know, that actually were able to handle it. The writer of Hebrews says, no. We have a great cloud of witnesses that he expects us fully to be a part of. Over in James talks about this concept of faith, but he talks about it in reference to our works. In James 2, verse 18, which the latter half of James 2 is all about this idea of faith without works is dead. I think he says that somewhere around four different times. You know, he makes that exact same point over and again. Faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. And we've taken that, we've accepted that, we believe that, and that's a good thing because there's a lot of, you know, religions that don't believe that. But have we gone too far? Have we tipped the scale the other way? That's really my question for us all this morning is, have we gone too far? In James 2:18, he says, someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. I fear that instead of focusing on the faith, and with it comes all the works you could possibly muster up, some have been unsuccessful by trying to fixate on the work. Now, there's a lot of work to be done. We're servants of Jesus Christ. We are obedient servants to a master. There's a lot of work to be done. We got to talk about all those things. But if we spend all of our time talking about that, if we spend all of our time raising our children, talking about you got to do this work. Yeah, we've got to do it. You know, you got to come to church. Yeah, that's true. It's true, we have to. But the focus, as James is pointing out here, I'll show you my faith by my works. If we just focus on building faith in ourselves, building faith in our young folks, then the works will come. But if the focus is on you need to do the work of being here on Sundays, then they struggle. They struggle to make it. But if that faith has been instilled, as James says, I'm going to show you my faith by my works. All the works come, as many as you can number, they come flying out, you know, here, there, and everywhere because of the faith, because of that conviction. And that's what John had talked about, coming full circle to what we began with in 1 John 5, when he said, his commandments are not burdensome. Well, they're tremendously burdensome to someone who doesn't have faith. But when you have the faith, you're like James here. And he said, I'll show you my faith by my works. And the works are just coming right and left and all over the place. He's doing everything right. You know, he's a tremendous example. Why? Because of the faith. The faith that he has. And it's by that faith that he does the works that he does. And it's not a challenge for him to do those things. So, this lesson is for each and every one of us. There's not one who needs it more than another. We all need it equally as much. We need to hear these things from the Word of God. We need to dwell on these things. We need to realize how we need to move further in this. You know, I know I focus quite a bit on children. We've got young folks here, you know, and we have some old folks. We could lose, you know, some of us who are older, but there is a much greater chance that we would lose those who are younger here. So we need to be very focused on them and helping them. As I said, what is the application of all of this? Well, Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing. You know, and it is by the Word of God. Our family lives should not be centered around the concept of you need to, when you grow up, you need to go to church. Our family lives should be centered around reading the Bible, talking about the Scriptures, and we'll never have to ever say you need to go to church when you grow up, because they'll be there, generally speaking anyway. So let's be mindful of these things. If there's anyone here who needs the help and prayers of the congregation in any way, we